Good morning and welcome to the Halloween, October 31st broadcast of Labor Beat Radio Show here on Enlightened Radio at www.enlightenedradio.org and our player always on at player.enlightenedradio.org. This morning we opened the discussion with a discussion of the pharmacy strike and review as well our local UAW local and their well-being, as well as taking a look at the war and peace scene. I mean, we may have to resort to Bob Dylan to explain it all. We'll see. Welcome.
Organize.
Yeah. So, well, and that's one thing.
Campaign that we didn't even see. I didn't even see this one.
The thing they'll do next is they'll virtualize the pharmacy, and you'll get on your screen, and it'll be like you're sitting at your pharmacy window, except it'll be in India. And right. You'll say, I'd like to have a refill of my prescription. You know, no problem. Zoom, you know. Well, it'll get to you, you know, tomorrow night, whatever.
You're right. You're right, Joe.
You know, that's what they'll do.
That's exactly what they'll do.
So.
Pricks. Pharmacy's worse than.
How do you have the country make reasonable decisions about exporting capital? I mean, is it too late to even think about doing that? Because, like Facebook has four and a half billion, last I looked, maybe it's more now, 4.5 billion accounts. Well, that's a lot more than that's a number of countries. And their profiles on everybody that uses the platform are immense, vast. You know, all the traffic that crosses their platform, you know, the courts may argue all day long about who owns it and who ought to be paid for this. But guess who possesses it? The big tech companies, they have it. It goes across their platforms. It's on their servers. I'm sorry. They have it. All right. And, you know, they can tell you all day long that they won't give it to somebody else, but there's nothing in there that says they won't use it themselves. You know, nothing. There's nothing that restricts that. So all their AI training algorithms, all of which depend upon massive amounts of data to be perform well. Well, these guys have that. They don't have to go anywhere for it. I mean, they got billions of accounts. I don't think I saw an article today by a Greek former Greek leader of one of the Greek government and a kind of a lefty European economist said that you can't regulate the high tech companies, that the cloud capital, so to speak, is really completely intangible for all legal purposes, and is you cannot contain it within borders, and it makes a mockery of the original, you know, joint stock enterprise law in the United States, copied in many other countries, that said, oh, you can have a corporation, a joint stock corporation, you can sell stock to the public, meaning that, as long, and you can have a limited liability status. In other words, your company is liable for any damage it causes, but the owners are not.
Yeah.
That's what it means, okay? But now, when you think about the possible liability of Amazon making a big mistake, it's unlimited.
Yeah.
It's devastating. I mean, in the pandemic, I don't know, several million more people would have died.
Yeah.
So, well, what do you do?
Did you get your shot, by the way?
No. Not yet.
You're not get one?
Well, I should go get it, but I don't, you know, I don't even go out of the house that much, JB, to be truthful.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I used to all the time. I drive down to Shepherdstown. I got to go to the gym. I haven't been going, but I need to go. But anyway. So, I don't know what's happened to Scotty lately.
Yeah, no, it's funny getting a jag like that.
I don't. By the way, I don't know what's happened to Scott recently. I thought he was going to come in today, but he might be ill. He's not, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hope he's okay.
Well, you know, I got a note from his wife that, you know, he had been to the hospital. Uh-oh. But I don't know.
Oh, shit.
So we'll see. Anyway, he was trying, you know, I mean, he recently was going to do quite a bit of traveling for the Steelworkers Retirees Organization to try and motivate them getting headed in. But I don't think he can do the travel. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, all we are, all us old whales on the beach, just waiting for the time to pass.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Counting the days. Counting the days.
Okay, welcome to the Labor Beat Radio Show, broadcasting here on www.enlightenradio.org. And it's Tuesday, the 31st of October, otherwise known as Halloween.
Whee!
I guess it descended from All Hallows Eve in the Britain, about which I think was originally about something very different, but I've forgotten what it is now, so I won't make it up right at the moment. Anyway, so we had, it's a big day in labor, and I think first we need to say that it looks like there are tentative agreements in all three of the major United Auto Workers national agreements with Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, which people may recognize as formerly Chrysler. You know, it's hard for us older Americans to, you know, get Chrysler out of our heads, you know, but anyway. I think the Stellantis is mostly an Italian-owned company now, about the same outfit that does Peugeot. That's my understanding. And and it looks like all three agreements made progress on at least two or three of the major issues. And those, well, we'll have to wait for full details. And, of course, the membership is yet to ratify these agreements. And as was seen this past week in Canada with who voted on the Stellantis agreement in the Canadian formerly Chrysler plants, the members voted it down, at least, you know, for now. So that's not directly connected to the U.S. Situation, but it's you're talking about comparable issues at stake, both in Canada and in the United States. So so they made big progress, at least on two-tier, which is, you know, this situation of I just got a warning on the Zoom here. Yeah, it said freeze watch. Freeze watch. I don't know what that means.
Freeze watch.
Freeze watch.
That must be for the weather.
Oh,
the
man.
Weather, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, it's a freeze watch. Yeah, of course.
Maybe
Jesus.
For tonight.
I thought, you know.
Get your plants inside tonight.
Anyway, you know, you had people that started on a job that when I used to work for GM briefly in the summer of 1968, you know, you had 90-day probationary periods. And then you got on to the regular scale, and you would get to top pay probably within 24 months after that. Okay. Now, over the years, it got to the point where you stay on probation for 8 years. You know, you, under which time you could be fired for any cause, right? Not quite any cause, because you are a union member, you know, after whatever it is. I can't remember how long it is. It's probably 6 months. Anyway, point being is that these people are paid nothing. Same thing. They're doing the same job as someone making double their pay or more for, what, 8 years? Eight or 9 years. It's ridiculous, you know, and it was killing union solidarity in the shops. Made it very rough. You had a lot of lousy support among young people for a long time because, you know, they were, what the hell is this? You know, the inequity of the pay set up in GM. So I know it was a big deal, and they made big progress on it this time, and we'll see whether it gets ratified by the membership. They also made big progress, I think, in each case on getting a slice, at least a reasonable sight at getting work transformed from electric vehicles. So that all that work would not end up in these new plants that would be non-union kind of thing. So we'll see how much progress they got on that. But that was a big issue, and Sean Payne and others involved have indicated that they made progress on that. Whether they made progress on the pension, we'll see how that works out. And of course, probably most important and widespread for almost all workers was how much general wage increase was going to be. And it looks like all three facilities have been close to 25%. You know, we'll see what the final terms are. Both catch-up from both the pandemic and the inflation skyrocketing, basically, since just before the Ukraine war. But anyway, it's shown, along with the, of course, it looks like there's progress being made now in the writers' strike, which is the longest running one in California. The actors' strike. The writers settled. UPS had a big settlement. The West Coast nurses had a big settlement. We'll see. Now, having said all these big settlements, the most important point to make is the fact that really these big settlements were big catch-ups for money lost that from their previous standard of living, either inflation or the loss of family incomes from the devastation of the pandemic, where many two-family working homes had to go back to one because, you know, childcare shut down in most of the country and public schools shut down in many areas. And so there was no possibility for, you know, two people to work. And in some areas, that's, you know, depending on how services have come back, that's still the case. But now you're trying to get people back into the workforce, but at a wage that, you know, okay, if you're in GM, okay, now kind of a caught up wage. We'll see how much. But I mean, if you're anywhere else in the economy yet, the only thing that's keeping wages up is the tight labor market, and that there just is not enough people wanting to come back in at the incomes that they can make. I mean, if it's going to cost you more to take your kids to childcare than you can make on the job, what's the point? I mean, unless it's a job that it's got something other besides just income, you know, that's attracted you. You know, you've decided to become a missionary. We'll offset something for that. But just in general economic terms, if it doesn't pay, it's not gonna go too far, probably. All right, JB, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I never got introduced.
Well, I'm about to introduce you. Welcome to my longtime friend and host, John Christensen, president of our Central Liberal Council here in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. And so I just gave you my outline on the agreement, a cause for celebration, but be careful because the whole working class in the country is liable to derive some hope from it, but probably not yet satisfied. Okay, so I think we're going to see a big upsurge of, you know, support for unionization should grow. Organization should grow, and that will have a profound effect.
I was listening to your intro there, John, and you did a really good job of kind of summarizing everything. And, you know, you have all these strikes that have been ongoing for the past several months, and they're coming to fruition. They're ending as more come online. This is the most active that I can ever remember in my adult life.
Yeah,
of labor organizations going on strike, getting settlements, and organizing new businesses and new industries to hire workers at decent salaries and decent benefits, where they can raise a family in the middle of America, if that's possible anymore. Rebuilding the middle class, as it were. But now we hear that there's a new real strong labor movement that's brewing under the, you know, under the covers, so to speak. We have the pharmacies, and they're calling it Pharmageddon.
I love
it. So much competition between CVS and Walgreens that the pharmacy workers that actually fill the prescriptions, these aren't the clerks. These are just the people that work behind the pharmacy counter that are not pharmacists,
but they usually have some training.
They do, but they apparently they're underpaid.
Absolutely.
You know, they see the pharmacist driving a Cadillac and they want a Tesla. So, you know,
they can't fill the positions either. I mean, it resulted in these mandatory overtime hours for millions of these people, okay? And I know the lady at the CVS that's right next to Martin's in Charlestown. She's not the pharmacist, but she's his main assistant, okay? And, you know, she was just at a point of complete exhaustion about right at the, near the end of the pandemic, because they couldn't get anybody to come in. And yet you had thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, wanting prescriptions, right? You know, so it was like, oh, my God. And, you know, but they weren't getting paid. You know, they were sitting there working for $14 an hour.
Right.
You know, and they had to have certifications. In a whole, I can't remember what is one. It's one of the community college courses they offer over there at Blue Ridge, by the way, where you can become a pharmacy technician or something like that. Without
right, pharmacy technician, yeah. Exactly.
And it's a skilled job. I mean, you're the one that's looking
my
up everybody.
My son was one for Walmart for many years.
Well, okay. You're the one looking up all these prescriptions. You're the one that has to interpret. Oh, your doctor is not expired. Oh, he has two meds in here that are actually in conflict. Does he know that he didn't drop one before he prescribed the other? I mean, that's a pretty informed question, right? I mean,
yes, very much so.
You know, so. Anyway,
I think it helped my son get through nursing school, too.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Yeah, you would be probably ace about half the courses.
Yeah. All the pharmacy courses,
oh,
he aced,
oh,
I'm
man.
Sure.
You know all the drug names. You know them, man.
That's hard enough right there, just remembering those names. My God, I don't see how they do
right.
it. It's like
all
a
the chemical
language.
Sure. All the chemical names, abbreviations, and shit, all that stuff. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. So we, it seems like I get my other website up here. I can start handing out leafless places. Okay. What I really want to do, JB, is I want us to get a coffee stand, like one of those coffee things that we can park within distance of all these friggin' warehouses and other shit going up around here and from Martinsburg to Hagerstown, and just, you know, sign up people using those, big sign with the QR code on it.
You yeah.
know, we'll pick up contacts all over the freaking place. You know, just it wouldn't be hard at all. But we just got to commit to do it and go, you know, focus on it. And it'd be fun if we could just.
We got to find the location.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we just scout around, pick, I don't care whether you do. If you go to Hagerstown at the Amazon area, I drove around there for a while. That's going to be not easy to find a place to park. At least I didn't think so. But I can't see that well. So I'll maybe take you over there.
I'd be happy to go over there with you, John.
You know, and but then you got all the new places starting up around Martinsburg, okay? And also
right.
just north of Hagerstown, you have two gigantic big warehouses going in. Target has one that looks like it's a mile and a half long.
Right. Target?
You know, so, Target, yeah.
Did you say Target?
Yeah, Target.
Wow, how about that?
You know, most of them
sounds like a major distribution center
well,
for them.
Well, yeah. I don't know what else it could be. I mean, a mile long, probably 600 bays.
I've got a question for you, John.
What?
How are we going to power these data centers that require so much power? Is it going to be coal or is it going to be renewables?
I think it's going to be hydrogen.
Hydrogen fuel cells.
Well, I mean, hydrogen powered by... what's it? What they call it? The green method, which is using no fossil fuels. Apparently, right now that's still expensive. Or second one is what they call it? The gray one, with you fire up the initial process with natural gas, but then you run it on the hydrogen engine that's created by that fire up. And then, but of course, the fire up will have CO2 emissions, and their plan on that is they're going to store it, sequestration. I have no idea whether that's a fantasy or really happens. Okay, but anyway, and the other one is the black one is coal fired. Okay, but
right.
I think the ARCH2 right. project is going to be the initial fire up is natural gas, but then it runs on hydrogen after it's started. You know, I don't see how they're going to do better than that, except unless they're going to figure out a way to bring back nuclear power. But then you got the same problem with what do you do with the waste at nuclear power? I mean, even if all the rest yeah. of your technology is great, what do you do with that? I mean, nobody's seen.
They didn't mention that at the energy conference.
I don't see who has solved that problem, okay? You're going to ship it back to the sun? A little missile? What?
Put it in a coal mine.
Well, but everybody,
right?
You got to convince everybody that it's just someplace on the earth that's not going to leak.
Right,
you know,
they all leak.
Well, I mean,
they all leak around here.
Let's put it this way. A lot of them do leak.
Yeah.
So,
they do.
I don't know. But, you know, some kind of barriers work and, you know, some don't. I mean, you're going to be storing a gas in the case of carbon sequestration. I mean, if there's any place to escape, a gas will escape.
Right.
So, yes. You know, same with liquid, except not up. It won't go up, okay? Whereas gases will tend to escape upward and, you know, laterally and under pressure as well, whatever. So, but, you know, maybe they, I don't know. Anyway, they're going to have to do something. So I figure the hydrogen.
Well, but this is the latest, the gauntlet has been thrown down by the fossil fuel industry, that they're not going to wind down, that they're going to continue to export, you know, coal fired, electricity to our surrounding states, and build the transmission lines necessary to carry that power. So remember we had the big fight with PATH years ago?
That happened as I was getting here. You mean the power transmission lines? Yeah, well, I probably would have been on the other side of that one.
Right, and you would have lost because we won.
Yeah, well.
We won that fight, but now that's going to be it's going to be irrelevant because of this new gauntlet laid down by the fossil fuel industry. They'll probably end up building it anyway because they have all these data centers that are going up around us, and they all need power, you know, unlimited power. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of power that they require.
Yep.
And they want to be the first there with the lines to hook up to the whatever company it is to get their business. And the public we have to kind of go along with it or fight it. You know, normally people don't challenge those type of things, but they did 10 years ago and we won. And we'll probably do it again. I'd say it was more than 10 years, probably like 15 years ago that PATH was on the agenda.
Yeah, I think it was more than that.
But, you know, you have all these solar farms in Jefferson County that are pending. I don't think they've started building one yet, have they?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet. I drive up along the area where it's they're doing it, or they're going to do it.
So it's
near that orchard active. You go up, actually, just near Bardane, not too far from Bardane. There was a big piece that was bought there, but I haven't seen it yet.
There's immense
housing construction going up everywhere in Jefferson County. And plus there's something else even bigger going in on the road 480 that goes out of Shepherdstown toward Kearneysville. Something big there too. But all along Flowing Springs Road, I think half those farms have sold out to developers. And they're building like crazy.
Right.
Are still building, even though interest rates are rising.
Everything.
Well, interest rates are rising. So, you know, every point it goes up cuts out a certain class of people out of the market that can't afford the monthly payment.
That's right.
All right. You know,
that's right.
So we'll see whether that's.
Is interest rates going to go up this time? When are they doing that? Today or next week?
Today, tomorrow. Well, they're going to make a statement indicating what they might do, whatever. But, you know, they keep hinting that they're going to just stay where they're at, but for longer. And they're already at a fairly elevated level. So, that was Mike calling me on the phone, but I'll have to wait until I get off. Anyway, why don't we take up the other subject, which is, you know, I don't think the labor movement can entirely ignore what's happening around the world. I suppose there's a certain section of folks out there that are going to say, hey, you know, the military spending is going to be picking up, yeah. I bet I can get a job in a defense related facility, you know. And I bet if I worked in a defense facility production plant, like especially in Southern California, lots of places, the military has spread its money around and therefore its influence in lots of different states and regions. But nonetheless, you know, having worked in that industry myself in Southern California, and also know a lot of people there, but I'll just say that there will be some twisted enthusiasm or perverse enthusiasm in some cases for, you know, when military buildup takes place, there's going to be a lot of work available. You can probably see a little bit of division on the horizon over that, or confusion. Nonetheless,
I see a lot of commercials recruiting potential military recruits.
Yeah. Well, and
that tells you right there, there's something going on.
And, you know, there was somebody testifying in Congress this past week. One of the, it wasn't Boeing. It was one of the other aircraft parts suppliers that their business was booming since, you know, the Ukraine war was kept going. And, you know, and they were looking forward to an Israeli blow up or something. And I mean, it was straight out mercenary kind of pitch, right? But what can you say? Nonetheless, you know, it's also going to have a much more immediate impact, in my view, and that is that the price of oil is going to rise above $100 a barrel.
Because they want it to. The cartel says that's the way it's going to be, and they're going to extract. Using that word, extract, they're going to extract more money from the American consumer, from their wallets.
Well, I mean, you know, there's going to be, well, sure, but I mean, it's still a market. I mean, you got a lot of other oil around, you know, you got Iran, you got Venezuela, which is a big producer. And of course, right. The biggest producer, really, if you include natural gas too, is Russia. And they're boycotting them right now. So
I thought we were the biggest.
No, I think they are.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Producer or vast or resources. Their resources are immense. You know, and they don't. And that's not even counting the fracking, because they don't do that much of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
they don't have to yet.
No,
they don't have to yet. No.
But you know, everybody sees the handwriting on the wall. I mean, a little bit. But on the other hand, there's the aggravation of what do you call it? Geopolitics is, you know, I mean, you're not going to see a drawback in those circumstances. I mean, security will trump everything. Right. Always does. Even
hey,
money.
How come you didn't let Mike on?
He was calling me on my cell phone, not on this.
Oh, okay.
You know,
tell him to call the show.
Yeah, he can get on the phone. Well, his Frontier connection has sucked recently, but he can get on the phone. Yeah, I'll do that. You know,
I'm having the best internet I've had in a long time this morning. Because I think that wind knocked down some stuff last night. It was really bad.
You mean so last it night it was bad?
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad last night, yesterday, when the wind was blowing. You know, Frontier, when the wind blows, you're in trouble.
We have Comcast here, and I've never had once in a blue moon.
No.
But otherwise, no.
Yeah. I got Comcast, you know, a half a mile away, and they won't run it to us.
Anyway, let's go back to the situation, because the risk in the Israeli-Hamas war going on and widening into eventually uniting with Ukraine war, you know, and you start to have it's going to have a serious impact on inflation. And on a lot of other things. And given the interest rates where they are right now, you have gross uncertainty. I mean, it's driving people crazy. I hear about people all the time who can't sleep now. I mean,
that's right. You know, well,
and it doesn't help, you know, when 30 people get shot in Maine.
Right, exactly.
Add all those murders.
Did you hear what's coming out about that? They knew about this guy way in advance. And
of course.
They didn't do anything.
I mean, if you knew about it, what would you do about it?
Lock him up. Put him in mental health care.
You know, but you can't just do it. What do you got to go to a court? You got to get a judge. You got to get a witness.
He made threats and he has weapons. Take his weapons away at the very least.
I don't think they have authority to do it. Otherwise, why wouldn't they do it? Okay, come on. I mean,
It's mental health.
Oh, so if it's mental
health.
They're
finally coming to realize that mental health is a big issue with these shootings.
But, you know, you can't talk to them. By the time you can talk to them, they're dead. You know, I mean, if they don't kill themselves, the cops kill them. So
right. There's
nobody left to, nothing left to examine to find out, you know, what exactly tipped this guy over that edge, you know? I mean, you might end up not finding much out. Anyway, I don't know, right? But on the hand, you might.
Mental health is a big problem in this country because of what's going on everywhere. I mean,
but no one wants
society is not really ready for all this technology.
But I think the big point about the labor upsurge is that, you know, after everybody's complaining about a lot of different things, but who's actually doing something about inequality, which is driving most of the crazy bullshit in the country, okay? And that is organized labor. It actually did something.
Right. They're the only ones that speak up for inequality. Right.
Well, other people may talk, but they did something. And they took a chunk out of the hide of the other side that, you know, ain't going to give you a chunk unless you do take it out of their hide. Okay. So it just, that's all there is. And, you know, I thought that's the greatest message. And also, I thought the discipline of the UAW, now, you know, I can think of a lot of ways in which the way that the leadership developed a sort of stand-up strike, you know, a rolling strike. In another economic environment, it might not have worked as well, but in this one, it worked well, except it required that people, you know, respect the leadership's ability to have this kind of tactical flexibility and trust them, you know, to use it effectively, okay? And even if there were divisions, like in the election, for example, I mean, our region, I don't think voted for Sean Fain. But on the other hand, I heard on the picket line repeatedly people say, I don't care. If we win this, I'll love him for life. And so, you know, you heard people just dedicated to everywhere in the movement that their solidarity was their strength. And man. It proved it. One day longer, like our friend Kenny said, you know, keeping it together. All right. It's a beautiful thing to see, and we got to help it spread.
I was thinking about hitting the picket line today. You up for it?
No, can't do it today because I got to produce all these shows. I got about three of them to put up. I can't get. I can do it tomorrow maybe, but not today.
Okay. Well, I think we're at the end of our time here.
Yeah. All right. And we'll put it up.
We covered a lot of ground today. We covered a lot of ground, John.
I don't know.
How about a shout out to Scott
Yeah,
Marshall,
we'll give a shout out to Scott Marshall for whatever it is that's keeping him unable to communicate. Anyway.
Well, he's got to get better. Whatever it is, he's got to get better.
That's right. So. Anyway, we'll try to reach him by phone here this week. See what happened.
You see my granddaughter's coffee mug here.
No, I didn't see that.
She drew that.
Hold on, let me turn off the recording here for a second.